text number 1. Supreme Personality of God had said, one who is unattached to the fruits of his work and who works as he is obligated is in the renounced order of life, and he is the true mystic, not he who lights no fire and performs no duty. Purport. In this chapter, the Lord explains that the process of the Eightfold Yoga System is a means to control the mind and senses. However, this is very difficult for people in general to perform, especially in the age of Kali. Although the Eightfold Yoga System is recommended in this chapter, the Lord emphasizes that the process of karma yoga, or acting in Krishna consciousness, is better. Everyone acts in this world to maintain his family and their paraphernalia, but no one is working without some self-interest, some personal sense gratification, be it concentrated or extended. The criterion of perfection is to act in Krishna consciousness, and not with a view to enjoying the fruits of work. To act in Krishna consciousness is the duty of every living entity because all are constitutionally parts and parcels of the Supreme. The parts of the body work for the satisfaction of the whole body. The limbs of the body do not act for self-satisfaction, but for the satisfaction of the complete whole. Similarly, the living entity who acts for satisfaction of the Supreme Whole and not for personal satisfaction is the perfect sannyasi, the perfect yogi. The sannyasis sometimes artificially think that they have become liberated from all material duties, and therefore they cease to perform agnihotra yajnas, fire sacrifices. But actually, they are self-interested because their goal is to become one with the impersonal Brahman. Such a desire is greater than any material desire, but it is not without self-interest. Similarly, the mystic yogi who practices the yoga system with half-opened eyes, ceasing all material activities, desires some satisfaction for his personal self. But a person acting in Krishna consciousness works for the satisfaction of the whole, without self-interest. A Krishna conscious person has no desire for self-satisfaction. His criterion of success is the satisfaction of Krishna, and thus he is the perfect sannyasi or perfect yogi. Lord Chaitanya, the highest perfectional symbol of renunciation, prays in this way, Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, kavitam va jagadishakamaye, mama janmani janmanishvare bhavatad bhakti rahaituki twai. Let's sing it all together. Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, kavitam va jagadishakamaye, mama janmani janmanishvare bhavatad bhakti rahaituki twai. One more time. Na dhanam na janam na sundarim kavitam va jagadisha kamaye mama janmani janmanishvare bhavatat bhakti rahai tuki twai. O Almighty Lord, I have no desire to accumulate wealth, nor to enjoy beautiful women, nor do I want any number of followers. What I want only is the causeless mercy of your devotional service in my life, birth after birth. That verse, by saying that verse, it feels good, actually. She's saying, I don't want anything. And the difficulty for anyone, any soul, is this idea of trishna, or thirst for material things. It bewilders us because we're incompatible. And when we get the thing that we're after, it doesn't satisfy us. And while we're after it also, there's a lot of heat generated and disturbance in our mind. So devotees are the only ones who are peaceful, because Prabhupada points out here that others who may eschew material things, still they want something. They want liberation, which is for themselves. Whereas a devotee has no desire. Akama sarva kama va moksha kama udaradi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. However, Srimad Bhagavatam recognizes that everyone may not start from this position of having no desire. Therefore, it distinguishes that there are different kinds of people. Akama means they don't have any kama, they don't have any desires. Akama, sarvakama, it means they have all desires for everything. Moksha kama, they may want liberation and just want to give it all up. So akama, sarvakama, va, moksha kama, udharati. Tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. In all cases, whatever situation one is in, Bhagavatam says, still you should recognize the source where all your all your desires are being fulfilled. It's all coming from the Supreme Ishvara, Krishna. He's fulfilling your desire. Nityo nityanam, chetanas chetananam, eko bahunam yoviditati kaman. This is the statement of the Shweta Sutra Upanishad that says there are many eternals, plural, but there's one supreme eternal. And the difference between the supreme and the individual tiny eternals is that that one supreme is maintaining everyone else. Nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam eko bahunam yo viditati kaman. That one supreme Ishvar is fulfilling the desires of everyone else. So, in the course of our existence in the material world, whatever situation we're in, the Srimad Bhagavatam says, we should recognize this. It's being, our desires are being fulfilled by Krishna, and therefore, tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param, one should approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead in any situation. And we know from the Brahma Samhita, yam krodha kama sahaja pranayadi piti bhatsalya moha guru gaurava sevya bhava sanchintitasya sadrisham tanamapurete govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. Lord Brahma says, for whatever reason someone approaches Krishna out of kama, krodha, yam kama krodha sahaja pranayadi piti, so even out of fear, all these, by proximity, by approaching the Lord, then gradually they become purified and come to the perfectional stage. So, however, those devotees who do approach the Lord, even for some material benefit, and become purified, give up that desire. Like Dhruva Maharaj wanted a kingdom greater than his father's. He was just a small boy, but he had Kshatriya blood. So he was very determined to get what he wanted. And he went away from home on the advice of his mother to go to the forest to find God who could fulfill his desire, his burning desire. On the way, he met his spiritual master, which is noteworthy also because to meet a spiritual master like Narada Muni requires that one have a desire like Dhruva Maharaj. Means one has to be very determined. And even Narada Muni told Dhruva Maharaj that, you know, you could work this out. You really don't have to get this upset about what your father said to you or what your stepmother said to you. You should go back. And Dhruva Maharaj determined anyway. He said, you can help me or not, but I'm going to find God in the forest. And when Narada Muni observed the determination of Dhruva Maharaj, then he gave him instruction of how to find Krishna. Nonetheless, when Dhruva went to the forest to do his meditation, Kamyavan forest, and he was performing austerities, he had the desire to get something from Krishna. He wanted something. He wanted a huge kingdom. It was basically out of this feeling that he was rejected, so he wanted something better than even what his father had. So when he went into that, he had some desire. But when he met the Lord himself, he became purified. Swamin kritato smi varam nadyache. From the Hari Bhakti Sudodaya, said that when Dhruva Maharaj saw Prishnigarbha, he saw the Lord in his beautiful form, he no longer wanted anything from him, and he said that I had been searching for broken bits of glass, but now I've gotten diamonds, I've got the real thing. And he was completely satisfied. So, ultimately, the perfection is to not want anything, to come in contact with the Lord. And it's a gradual process to come to this position. But because the Lord is the supreme pure, approaching him, we become purified and those material desires will diminish. Any comments on the first verse? Yes.
I have more of a question.
Please.
Of course, this chapter is going to be about meditation.
And Prabhupada mentions in the purport how this process really is very difficult and that karma yoga is more recommended. It's better than this process of Eightfold Meditation. And I remember yesterday you were talking about how Krishna's talking to Uddhava in the 11th canto, and that Krishna said that there's basically only three paths to transcendental realization. There's karma yoga, jnana yoga, and bhakti yoga. So I wonder if you could say something about, even though Krishna is recommending meditation in this chapter, Prabhupada saying it's better to do karma yoga.
Yeah, and it's not just Prabhupada saying that. The acharyas also say it because they're just the acharyas have given evidence that by performing a karma yoga means you're doing your work but you're sacrificing the fruit for Krishna, that Krishna is actually present in that. He's personally present in those acts of sacrifice. And it's much more natural. Kurvan nirantaram karma loko yam manavartate tenaiva karmana dhyaya mam param bhaktimichati, from the Brahma Sanhita. The Lord is saying, kurvan nirantaram karma loko yam manavartate, that already everyone's already acting. They're already busy doing something. Therefore, by connecting those activities to Krishna, kurvan nirantaram karma loko yam anavartate tenaiva karmana dhyaya mam param bhaktimichati. He says, just by connecting your work to me, what you're already doing, then you'll come to the supreme stage. You'll meditate on me by means of those work. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in commenting on these sections, has said that Krishna is actually present within those acts of sacrifice. And just as there's fire within wood, you can't see it with your naked eye, but when there's combustion, the fire comes out. So similarly, in karma yoga, you're doing your activity, but when you connect it to Krishna by giving the fruit to him, Krishna comes out. He comes out from your work. So, you're able to meditate on Krishna through something that you're already doing. So the acharyas say this is the easier path for everyone because it's natural. We're already engaged in work. Nahi kashit shanamapi jatu tischetta karma krit karyate hyavasha karma sarva prakriti jargunai. It's already our natural position, Krishna says, to be engaged constantly. We can't stop. So by connecting those activities to Krishna through karma yoga, then it becomes easy for everyone to make gradual advancement and come to the perfect stage.
Then also you said that you were saying something that depending on the mentality of the person, karma yoga and bhakti yoga or jnana yoga will.
Right. So to recall that, in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, I'm going to repeat what he said. Is that all right?
Yeah.
In the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna, in his discussion with Uddhava, says that for those who are repulsed by the material world, jnana yoga is suitable. For those who are attracted to the material world and have attachment to it, karma yoga is the most suitable. For those who are neither repulsed very much or very much attracted to the material world, bhakti yoga is the best path. So according to one's disposition and mentality, there are different means for making advancement on the path of devotional service. Yes, Ramaswamy.
Prabhuji, sometimes karma yoga is also taken as bhakti yoga because karma yoga means renouncing the fruits of action to satisfy Krishna. So that is also taken as bhakti yoga. So what is actually the difference between karma yoga and bhakti yoga?
Just the intensity and the consciousness. Because it has to do with the, you know, the consciousness of doing it. For instance, there's a way in which I might do my work, the kind of work that I like, and then afterwards I'll give the fruit of that away to Krishna. I'm still doing what I like, but then I sacrifice the fruit. But then there's a way in which we do our work. We come to the stage of we'll do anything to please Krishna, whatever it is. Even if it doesn't seem like my nature, whatever you know is asked of me, I'll do that. And so it's a continuum. When one begins karma yoga, sacrificing anything for Krishna, Krishna becomes pleased and begins to manifest. Neha bikramanasho sti pratyavayo navidyate solpamapyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. And so therefore Krishna emphasizes in the second chapter that even a little bit of this mentality of giving away the fruit will help us in the greatest cause, which is coming to reestablish our relationship with Krishna. The tendency of the conditioned soul is to lord it over the material nature. There's two weaknesses of heart. One is, first of all, to become attracted to the external energy. And the next is then to covet it and to hold on to it even more. And those need to be rectified and remedied. So giving away the fruit becomes a kind of a medicine, you know, to cure that. And out of it, as I was saying, the Acharya's comment that just as fire is within wood, when you make that sacrifice, Krishna appears. And gradually, you know, one becomes confident that I'm not my material body. You know, it's based on the bodily conception of life that I have to work hard to maintain myself. Because if I don't, I'll die. But it's not true. Because you're not your body. You're not going to die anyway. So you don't need to. But in the beginning, it's a very difficult concept to understand coming from the bodily conception of life. And therefore, we're encouraged by Krishna even in the 12th chapter that even if you can't sacrifice directly to Krishna, you should sacrifice to somebody. Get in the mode of giving, in giving away the fruit or doing charitable work, because that's the spirit of that. Yukta Vairagya, if I see that actually everything belongs to Krishna, everything's meant for his purpose, then I won't reject anything because it's not mine to reject. And I won't try to enjoy it either because it's not mine to enjoy, but I'll use it, but for the right purpose, and that is to engage in Krishna's service. Then there's no reaction in the work, and the devotee's completely peaceful. Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kami Sakali Ashanta, what's the first line? Krishna Bhakta Atayiva Shanta Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kami Sakali Ashanta. Everyone else who has some material desire is not peaceful, is not Shanta. But a devotee, Krishna Bhakta Nishkam Atayiva Shanta, means that the devotee is peaceful because he or she has no self-interest. Actually does have a self-interest, but that self that devotee understands is Krishna. And the interest is how to serve Krishna in all circumstances. But everyone else, bhukti mukti siddhi kami sakali ashanta. Someone's bhukti wants to enjoy, that's obvious. I mean, most people figure that out, even in the midst of doing it. You know, that's why all the songs and poetry are all about how, you know, I tried to get what I wanted, you know, my lover ran away, and, you know, I'm left with the dog. Those old blues songs used to be, what was that? Somebody took the Mustang, left me the mule to ride, I forget. You know, all these songs that people sing, you know, she ran away and left me, and, you know, all this, even in the midst of it, the bhukti's understand, you know, I'm being whipped, but I can't stop because they have no knowledge. They have no sambandha gyan or knowledge of relationship of something higher. Bhukti, mukti. And then the muktis, they figure it out that this is a suffering place, but they also don't have perfect knowledge, so they think, let me be liberated from this place. A siddhi, they think that they understand by dabbling with the ethereal and coming to a higher level of seeing that I'm actually not my body. This is pretty intoxicating stuff, you know, that they can actually connect with forces in the universe is what they do. These yogis they become so expert at detaching from the body that they can connect up with, for instance, the totality of air within the universe and then become very light themselves through this meditational process, or very heavy by meditating and connecting with the heavier elements. And there's a whole description of this in the 11th canto by Krishna himself of how the yogis do this, actually. But it's a very distracting thing because, you know, like you see people driving on the freeway if they have a very powerful car. Even that, for little Jiva, it becomes enough to distract him and think, wow, I'm a powerful man now because I'm driving a powerful car. Or motorcycle drivers, you know, they get into it. Like, you know, I'm a motorcycle now. I'm really flying around. What to speak of these siddhis? So, bhukti, mukti, siddhi, kami, they all have some calm, some desire. Sakali, ashanta, so they're not peaceful. But the devotees are peaceful because they've understood that Krishna is the enjoyer, and whatever they do it for his interest. That's what's being addressed in the purport here. And nadanam najanam darim kavitam va jagadisha kamaye mama janmani janmanishvare. Even they don't want liberation. They're not even thinking, I have to be liberated. They're not asking the Lord for anything. We're birth after birth, I'll just stay here and serve, whatever you ask. So, Narayana Paraksarve Nakutashana Bibhyati Swarga Pavarga Narakeshu Apituljana Darshana. For the devotees of the Lord, said Lord Shiva, told Parvati, that they don't care where they are. We talked about this the other night, that Narayana Paraksarve Nakutashana Bibhyati Swarga means heaven, Pavarga Narakeshu. They can be in heaven, they can be in hell.
To regularly write emails to you.
Ray, oh, thank you. I'd appreciate that. Yes, here's an improvement.
Yeah, I've caught myself quite often going around without any books. I have my own books, and unfortunately I'm kind of attached to certain books that I have because I've gotten them from certain devotees. And I'll come across a situation where I could distribute a book, and I mean, it's handed to me on a platter, and I'm not prepared. So I think that's one thing I'm going to become.
That's
more
a really good
for
one.
Kind of spontaneous book distribution.
Nice.
Maybe even making it more of a point.
Always carry books. That's the second law of book distribution, too, right? Get books, because you can't distribute books you don't have. Gaurang Kishore looks like he's about ready to raise his hand. Is that true? Oh, good.
I was thinking something I would like to start doing again is sometime back I started working on a list of all the shlokas that I know so I could refresh them regularly. So I haven't been doing much with it, but I want
to. We're going to have to get you a bigger room or a bigger hard drive.
it's a computer file, so that's not.
That's nice. These are things, it'll come into your mind. I meant to do this, or I saw somebody else doing something. I'd like to try that. Now's the time to consolidate it and you know, write it down, think about how to improve, and we'll all help each other with this because we're going to concentrate it on a lot, how to make these improvements. And you'll hear from others, too, and pick up ideas. You know, what's a good idea? One thing I was thinking of, I used to make sandesh all the time. That was one of my favorite things in the temple. And for a long time, I've been thinking that at ISV, we need a signature suite. We talked about this even years ago. That because I feel like if we have one suite here that we've become famous for, it's so good that people will come from miles around. You know, there's some prasadam that's so good, you have to like take a train ride to go there. Like I used to go when I lived a little bit in South India. We used to go over on an overnight train, crazy brahmacharis, all the way to Madras to go to the Partasarthi Mandir where they had these idlis that had peppercorns in them. You know those? No? You know those. But, you know, they're famous for that. People come from all over the place to get that prasadam. And I think that we should become famous here for sandesh. So that's something I've been thinking of. Oh, sandesh with burfi mixed in. Sandesh with a burfi topping. Triple layer sandesh. Yeah. So that's one improvement I'd like to make, is start making Sandesh and have a rotational so that, you know, other devotees can make Sandesh. Hansapri is into it. You have one? How do you... Oh.
And he used to send it to Prabhupada wherever he was, when he was a brahmachari. Actually, Maharaj, like,
use the mic.
Maharaj, you know, spent years making sandesh as a brahmachari in New Vrindavan. And like whenever Kirtananda Swami used to go visit Prabhupada, Prabhupada always waited for the sandesh from him.
Well, there it is.
Triple layered.
This is timely. I'm glad I brought it up. And that's what happens when you think of things and you bring them up, is that... you know, they all start getting connected and it starts moving in that direction. Any others that anybody's thinking of? Been meaning to serve Krishna in a new way, in a better way? It's been on your mind. Now's the time to bust loose. And here's Ramaswamy's got one.
This is not a new idea, but one thing I have is to have always some snack prasadam.
Is Sean leaving?
Available.
You're leaving? Well, I'm sorry, Ramaswamy. This is Bhakti Shan. I would like to introduce you to him because he just donated his truck to the temple. Hari Bol! Actually, I think he sold it for $1.
Yeah.
Was that $1? Because it was legally more. Very good. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. We'll try to put another 100,000 miles on it. Okay, if we want to give it back, right?
Yeah.
You come take this thing back. Okay, yeah. Thank you, Hare Krishna. Please come back soon. Hare Bol. Ramaswamy, sorry to interrupt you.
This is not a new idea. That one thing that would be nice is to always have some snack prasadam here in the temple so that when devotees come, we can give something. Because many times we are facing the situation where devotees come, but we have no prasadam to give.
Oh, that's excellent. That's a great idea. Some kind of like chidwa or something like
that. Something that can last packaged for a week or 2 weeks.
And it could have like a, you know, Bhakti Leon can design a really nice label for it. And we could package it so it looks really first class. And we just have, you know, like a barrel of them sitting by the door. Everyone who comes gets that.
Can I say something?
Oh, yes.
I really like the cookies that were made on Saturday morning. There's some extra and I took them to Stanford.
You took all the cookies
and handed them out. But everyone was, you know, everyone who got one of those packages, all the students were.
Oh,
really,
Hansapriya's cookies.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, God, those are the best. Hari Bol. Yeah.
So that might be a really nice, have, you know, wrapped nicely like that, a few cookies. It's like a really
That's
nice
a great
thing
idea,
to give people.
Hansapriya. Sandesh and cookies. after I tried those cookies, I called her up and told her she should quit her job and start a catering business. Because it was so good. One more. Who else has one? Yes. Could you give her the microphone? Oh, question, yes.
It's a question. Serving Krishna? If someone does charity work, like giving money to the needy, giving money to the poor, or let's say there is a disaster somewhere, tsunami or somewhere, and then you donate money to help people there. Is that serving Krishna too?
Yeah, that could be. Krishna mentions that in the Bhagavad Gita, that if you can't give directly for service to propagate Krishna consciousness, which is considered the highest service, because knowledge is higher than just giving bodily welfare. But if you can't do that for some reason, then giving some kind of charity gets you started in that mood of giving. And so it can ultimately be connected to Krishna. It can purify you. So if you're inclined in that way and that becomes, you know, something that you really is really important to you, then you can be engaged in that way. But as far as the best kind of service is reorienting the soul with Krishna by giving knowledge. And, you know, there's different gradations of service that you can do to help people. But the best is to help the soul on the spiritual level. You know, so, you know, say if someone was doing surgery, a doctor, would you go to the doctor who's doing surgery and say, you know, why don't you drop what you're doing and go feed people? Would you say that to a doctor? Why don't you go feed people rather than doing what? Well, what about like a psychologist? If someone was giving psychotherapy to somebody, helping them like on an emotional level, would you say go feed people? Or you know,
to do both.
Okay, then there's your answer for you too. You can do both. But the point is that ministering to the soul, because the soul is actually the permanent part. The body's going to go away one way or the other. And one time I was in Japan with Satyadev, and we were walking down the street, and we saw a little boy riding his bike, and he almost got hit by a car, but he just missed. And I said, oh, you would have to gone and save him, because he's a paramedic, if he had been hit. And Satyadev said, I've never saved anyone in my life. Just meaning that, you know, some people that were meant to die, they lived, and some people that were meant to live, and they die. And on the physical level, there's what can we really do to help people, ultimately? But on the spiritual level, whatever help we give is eternal, and it goes on forever. So you could think of something, you know, that fits your desire to make an improvement, like in your daily service, and if it means like helping people who are hungry or something like that, then you can do that too. We can do both, as you said. So, we have the idea for the MSF. Let's cook it up, you know, and think about it and meditate on it, write some things down, and then we'll implement those too, and Krishna will be pleased because we're improving our service. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Gop Bhaktivinoda ki jai, Gop Premanande, Hari Hari Bo, Hare Krishna. So, also we have, anyway, we'll give announcements later. Hare Krishna. So now we'll get ready for Artik. Let's put away all the books in an orderly fashion and have kirtan.